Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
amount of the play, we can shoot two. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is good to be in the house. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, who you will hear from as we go along. And a special shout out in a view of Las Vegas to the 2023 NHL champion Las Vegas Golden Knights. Now, they're a story in themselves, as the Golden Knights have kicked every algorithm in the ass. Something they have done since their beginning 6 years ago. Now, we got to go back a ways and think, with the four major sports, how fast was it before somebody became a champion? And, of course, as I'm waiting for my friends to get here, the first thing that comes to mind for me are the Mets. The Mets lost over 100 baseball games in their first season in 1962 and became a World Series champion in 1969. So, 7 years. When you look at things, that's pretty good in terms of speed. Every expansion team has been the standard bearer. Nobody thought about how fast, but when you think about how long it takes to get from A to B, the Mets got there pretty fast. And I can't say Mets around my people without speaking to my brother, Tony McClain. T, can you hear me?
Yeah. And by the way, I have to say, the Diamondbacks were the quickest, I believe, to win their World Series.
Ah, okay. Oh, it was 7 years.
It took them
damn good.
I think it took them five. I think it took them five to get that first World Series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was trying to count off from the fourth sport, which was first. Baseball,
yeah.
I figured, had to be the fastest because we grew up remembering the Mets, but.
Mm-hmm.
Look at basketball.
Now for the NBA, the Bucks. It didn't take them long because they were part of, I want to say, the 68-69
yep.
expansion for the NBA, and then
yep.
they won it in
1971.
So yeah. But the thing with the Golden Knights was that they got to the finals. Now technically they were the second team to do that because, of course, you know, when the NHL expanded back in the day, they put all the expansion teams in one division, and the Vets would lose. Made the finals 2 years in a row. They got skunked
right.
by Montreal, but I think the thing with Vegas was that, you know, everyone thought that they were. I mean, it was sort of a second nature that they thought that they were going to struggle. But
right.
they came out guns a-blazing, and their impact was felt
in the first season, and they threw everyone off. And when I say everyone, I mean even the gamblers not just the gamblers who played, but those who set the logarithms, because no one expected a first-year team to play the way that the Vegas Golden Knights did. It's not like they had gotten all this tremendous talent as a steal from all these other teams. They got lucky in a couple of sections. The Conn Smythe MVP, Marchessault, he was a 30-goal scorer before he showed up. And Carlson, who scored 41 goals in the first year, he was a rookie.
They still had about Dover from that original team that were on that roster. So And so and the thing about them is, if you look at their roster, they probably it's a little premature or what have you, but again, if they're able to sustain their roster, the bulk of that roster is relatively young, so the possibility of them repeating is definitely there. They're going to be a contending team, barring some crazy injury or what have you. They've made the playoffs every year. Only one year they got knocked out in the first round, but every year.
Right.
They literally walked in the door and demanded respect, for lack of a better word.
And
Seattle Kraken is doing a complete copy of the Vegas Knights.
Well, there are some things that the Seattle Kraken are doing that definitely smack of what the Knights did, because the Seattle Kraken expansion team made it to the postseason in their second year, and they knocked off the NHL champion at that time, Colorado Avalanche, and that badass Nate MacKinnon, and they beat them. But what the Knights did from the time they opened the door to get out on the ice was they were like the Golden State Warriors are known for jump shots. Steph Curry, Thompson, they'll jump shot you to death. But what the Golden Knights did was they were a true counterattacking style team.
Right.
If you scored on the Golden Knights, they scored back on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened game after game after game. And the Golden Knights were rarely blown off the ice. Yeah, they'd lose, but you never saw them lose the way they lost. Well, I won't say the way they lost, the way others lost. Like last night in the championship game, they lost 8-3. You never see the Knights getting slaughtered. They might lose by a couple of goals, but you never see them getting waxed.
Their worst moment, I think, was when it was them that blew a 4-1 lead late in a game 7, and then wound up losing in overtime. That was their quote unquote low point. But like you said, for the most part, I mean, again, for a lot of teams, even the Islanders, they had to deal with their lumps. Although their biggest win came 3 years in when they knocked off the Rangers in the first round in 75. This was the old best 2 out of 3, and they won game 3 at the Garden. So that was the start of theirs. And then also they had they were the second, or like the second or fourth team to come back from a 3-0 deficit and win a series. And then it got reversed on them when they that next series as well. But yeah, it's the Knights. are, you know, they're not, needless to say, they're not your grand, they were never your grandfather's expansion team. Let's put it that way.
No, and there got to be some people in Toronto, in Edmonton, in Calgary, in Montreal especially, that have to be pissed beyond pissation because they came in there and they won. And in addition to that, they maintained. This seems to be a nice style where, you know, we are never out of the game. If you're going to beat us, you got to beat us really convincingly. And the talent on the night never seems to, how can I say, they never seem to panic. They are always in the game. And if you win, good luck for you. But the Knights always gave the impression, especially to the Gamma, that if they put their money on the Knights, that is a pretty secure bet, which is very, very hard to do, especially now in the world of DraftKings and FanDuel, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. They just, it took Vegas almost 2-3 years to recover from that because of the whole in-game betting and
right.
And everything else. And ironically, it was before you had all the other states kicking in with their program, because, you know, as we all know, Vegas has been for the longest time was the lone state where you could bet pro sports, and now it's sort of, you know, second nature in a sense. But think about this with Vegas as a sports town. Now, the WNBA team won are the defending league champs in the WNBA.
Right.
The Raiders, I guess, at some point will have to get decent before long. And then, you know, still, they're probably going to get
some good way
through. Well, no, I'm just saying that they're let's put it this way, of the three teams in town, they're the one lacking, so to speak. But again, they haven't been there as long either, so it's a double-edged sword. But and then look, you know, the A's will probably be there within a year or so, and see. To be quite honest, the A's hit Vegas. I think, you know, whether it's by osmosis or whatever, I think they become a contender very quickly.
Okay. I'm glad you said that. I've been telling people over there the same thing. The three minor league A's teams are kicking butt. All three of them are kicking butt in their divisions. The A's moved to Vegas. They win the World Series in 3 years.
Yeah. I don't know about winning the World Series, but they're definitely going to be a contender quick. You know, if you look at the teams in Major League Baseball that have won recently, they've all had that, dare I say, tank season, so to speak. You know, we all know the Astros basically grabbed last place in the NL and in the AL West for like 3.5 years and dared anybody to take it from them, and they've made everybody pay. You know. Truth be told, at one point about 10 years ago, the Cubs had of the top 20 prospects in Major League Baseball, they had 7 of them at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe all 7 were on the roster that finally, you know, broke the curse back in 2016.
Right.
You look at the surprise teams now. You know, the Pirates are contending, the Orioles are contending, the Rangers are contending, and the Diamondbacks are contending. All of them have basically have been living rent free
in either last or near last place for the last for the last 4 or 5 years. Dogs and cats living together, but it really is that.
Yeah. And not sharing food or paying rent either. That's
no
the whole
shit.
Thing.
But it's
a trend. It's a trend.
Well, you know, in the Canadian situation, you're talking about culture. The Toronto Maple Leafs have spent gugas, or I should say gugas, in terms of cash to acquire talent, and it's been over 60 years, and nothing's happened. When the Rangers fan held up that banner and said, now I can die in peace. It took him 54 years to stay alive and wait to die before the Rangers got 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
It took the Vegas Golden Knights. And if you look at all the other sports, you look at other expansion teams, the Atlanta Falcons, when they came in 66, they got to the Super Bowl and folded like a cheap suit. But they got there. And it took them a mere 50 years to get there. The New Orleans Saints, same thing. Took them about the same time, but the Saints won. The Seattle Seahawks, 1976, they got one. It took them almost 50 years to get there.
The Seahawks keep switching. They go AFC, and
they
go, my God, where are you going to be at?
But they got
they've been more of an NFC. They've been the majority of their time. They've been an NFC team, I believe. I think they've been in the NFC East longer than they were the AFC. They began at AFC West, but they've pretty much been NFC for like almost who's way. It's sort of like the Colts where. You almost forget that they were, you know, except for a few of us older folks, you almost forget that they're the original Baltimore Colts.
That's right. But, you know, if you look at the Seahawks, it's at least 30 years in one conference and 20 years in another. Tampa Bay, they got one and took them 50-odd years to get it. But in terms of expansion teams, no one has ever gone and succeeded as quickly as the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, Tony mentioned the Diamondbacks. We got Professor Fred with us. Tony mentioned the Diamondbacks, but even with the Diamondbacks winning that 5 or so years.
What about the Florida Marlins?
The Marlins? Yeah, the Marlins
It took them longer. It took them longer because they were 93, and they won in 90. They won in 98. Yeah, so 5 years.
Yeah.
About 5 years for them as well. But they're
on the same flight path. But still, you don't have success like this by accident. Vegas wasn't a fluke. They came out the gate and played such a style that said to everybody, yeah, we got something new here. How y'all gonna handle it? Now, Fred, they are the champs. They did it in 6 years. And if you're a fan, not necessarily hockey, but a sports fan, you got to be asking yourself, shit. How come my team can't play that fast? Or how come my team can't play like that? And good evening.
Well, typically, the major thing that happens is what is your belief level? Because as you look at teams today, There's so much I'll call it animosity, other things that get in the way when it comes to putting teams together.
Okay.
You know, the best example of going from 0 to 100 in almost no time would be Georgia Southern.
Right.
Because if you remember, Georgia Southern made a decision and they got a new president, an AD, and I want to say spring of 1980,
okay.
They started putting the team together that fall. Over the next 10 years or so,
mm-hmm.
they won 6 national championships. But the mandate from the top president is I want a Division I AA football team. I want to have winning 1AA football. And they basically started from scratch doing what they needed to do to get it done. Okay, in the professional environment, you would think that when they take some of the best, I won't say some of the best, but take good players from the various other teams, to see the team,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you would think that at some point in time, one of those teams would, at least one of those teams would have been 500 or better from the start, but that's not usually what happened. Same thing with baseball, same thing with basketball. You
mm-hmm.
see the team, no, you don't get their very best, but you get good players. You get better players that way than you get in the draft, and especially now.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, they're seeding the NBA, for instance, is being seeded from high school, and at most from prep schools. And some of those basketball factories, prep schools, I've seen these guys play. I see these guys play on the regular. I ain't that impressed with them.
No,
baseball.
You know,
baseball. You get guys coming out of the minor league, and I was just watching the Garen Bulls play. The Charlotte team.
Okay.
You know, some of these guys are bouncing back and forth between their major league teams. Because one of the guys that pitched tonight was actually played in the major leagues. A couple of weeks ago. Well, if that's the case, you got guys who are really professional standard. But at the same time, though, come on, they don't produce that way. And unfortunately, you got watered down basketball, baseball, and football. The reality
is, I agree with you that there's an amateur and a professional standard. But what I want to know is how the Golden Knights succeed. Why did Las Vegas succeed? Tony, we talked about this. So much. Gary, why?
Michael, this is the thing. If you had good scouts and you had good trainers and you had good coaches, that combination can make you a winner. And what the Vegas Knights did was, I looked this up.
Mm-hmm.
They picked the best coaches they could find.
Yeah.
Most advanced teams don't do that. The Vegas Knights took their time getting their coaches. When they got their coaches, they knew who they wanted. That would have been the difference between the Vegas Knights. It shows up in the early days.
They were fortunate in getting a guy like Gerard Gallant, who ended up with the Rangers now, and the Rangers improved because of his placement. I can't say it's all him, though. But the chemistry of front office to players, to coaches, all of those things definitely had a lot to do with the overall success. But it's one thing to do it for a year. it's another thing to do it a couple of years in a row so that, oh, well, these guys are formidable. We have to keep an eye out on them. But, Tony, the Spectre gambling made Vegas totally different than any other team we've seen because they beat the odds by going out there and winning at the level that they did. There's no way in hell anyone, be they pro gambler, speculator, or whatever, there's no way in hell anyone predicted that Vegas would win, let alone win over 50 games and make the playoffs their first season.
Oh, no. Look, hey, you look back on the things that were said in the hockey intelligentsia. People were, you know, even and the thing about it is they got even though, because remember their big their marquee guy during the expansion draft was Fleury, the goalie.
Right. That's right.
He had a phenomenal year. He probably, you know, arguably he had a better one season in Vegas than he did in Pittsburgh. And remember, he won a couple of rings. With the Penguins. I mean, the thing with them. I mean, you know, it's cliche, but the whole lightning in a bottle thing. Just, you know, it really clicked. You know,
I also believe that
galvanized the community.
That definitely did. Because I really believe that changed the whole paradigm at team.
Well, it gave them, you know, it galvanized the community, and I think you always have to be careful with stuff like that because it can come off kind of morbid in a sense if you sort of use that as a rallying point. But I think the thing, you know, you got to remember their opening night, their home opener. I mean, they played exhibition, but their opening night, they basically honored, I think it was like, you know, because of the 58 people who were killed, they honored the 58 folks. And, you know, that whole Vegas Strong thing was something, like I said, it was a rallying point for that first year.
And nobody ever again.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, yeah. They retired the number 58 that night. And so, and plus when you add the fact that, in a sense, this was their first professional team, I think it just, this is a terrible analogy, but I think you'll understand where I'm coming from. When ESPN, let me take that back. The Big East. When the Big East was formed in 1979, it was also on the heels of the Mouse starting.
Yes.
And if you remember, their first TV contract was with the Mouse. And,
right.
You know, in a sense, Big Monday began with the Big East. And you have to remember, the Blue Blood conferences, i.e. the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, they sort of sneered at the Big East when they first came in. But when you look back, they've been over
and patted their behinds at all those. But remember, Jefferson Pilot and Learfield basically ran the Big Ten, the ACC, the Southeast had their own TV contract, and the mouse, so to speak, was looking for teams like the Big East, the Big South, the SoCon, and all those. Because
they were just looking for programming, any kind of programming. Literally and figuratively, the Big East was, it was literally a perfect match because, they got those other small conferences, they got those other mid-majors, I guess you would call, but eventually all the other big conferences came calling. It's ironic that damn near a third or fourth of the ACC is now made up of former Big East teams, but that was sort of the analogy that I would use in how literally lightning struck hit a bottle for the Knights, because everything came into and they grew, and as the Big East grew. And remember, they had three Final Four teams within 6 years of their existence. They had three Final Four teams in 1985. And that's something no conference could ever do. All the Blue Bloods and all the other stuff. But we see that happen to a certain extent. The explosion of UFC. Now I know. I watch it, but I'm not really into it like a lot of, but they parlayed their, now they came along in a time where the internet was hot, and so they took advantage of YouTube and some of the other perfunctory things. Again, a lot of it has to do with timing. Now, again, the Big East came at a perfect time, and I've always felt like for certain eras, certain people were perfect. Jackie Robinson was perfect for his era. Jim Brown was perfect for his era. Wilt Chamberlain was perfect for his era. OJ was perfect for his era. Jordan, there's always sort of a signature guy. If you go through each decade, there's always sort of a signature athlete. I think what has happened over the years with a lot of sports phenomenon, so to speak, they've literally come in at the right time. The Big East came in at a perfect time. UFC got big at a perfect time, and Vegas might be the ultimate because they were able to parlay that in such a, and remember, they're about as non-traditional sports town as you can get, They did it with a sport that at the time when they came in was still having some growing pains. Who's to say that the Knights that TV contract that they have now with the Mouse and Turner, who's to say that Vegas becoming a power may have had a lot to do with that.
There you go. But there's one aspect that still hasn't been accounted for, and that's the fact that the Big East, as successful as they were, Georgia Southern, as successful a program as it was, they're supposed to be amateur programs. We're talking the pros here with hockey, and we got Patrick Ferron in the mix. Patrick, can you hear me?
Live 11. What's up, fellas?
Now,
hey, Patrick.
Patrick, you work for an organization that was successful. What is it like when a team experiences success and it looks like there's a harmony flowing between management and labor in order to make the organization work?
Well, I was listening to Tony, what you're saying in terms of times and timing for everybody, and that has a lot to do with it. I just want to add one more thing to what Tony was saying was in terms of particular athletes and times. Unfortunately now, because of the mass exposure they have, too many now try to create those individuals rather than come natural. That's a big problem.
Exactly. And we have a lot of examples.
I mean, I was talking to somebody recently concerning the quarterback at Jacksonville. What's the kid's name? Anyway.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. And that started when he was a freshman all the way to pros. Now, the young man is good. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
But this label that they put on him, a generational quarterback. Wait a minute. What generation are you talking about? And the guy just as good as him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he is good. He's good. Now, if I was a GM, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Think about this, Patrick. Now, they're doing this now with him, doing this 24/7, 365 frenzy, you know, between the internet, sports talk radio on a national, local,
mm-hmm.
and podcast basis. Remember, all those folks we mentioned pre-79, you didn't have that. You didn't have that feeding frenzy, but in many ways, those folks became icons. And they didn't have to have TikTok or Twitter or Facebook.
That's right.
Or anything. Look, mm-hmm. I always say there are people in huts in Bapu, Botswana that know who the hell Muhammad Ali is. You know,
yeah, sure did.
You know, they're you know, now granted, the Jumpman logo is pretty much everywhere, but. And Michael is a global icon as well.
And should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But see, again, it just shows you the difference. Now, think about this. Ali's biggest endorsement was with Deacon.
That's right. I don't want you to have no roaches.
That was his biggest endorsement. He probably had more endorsements. Sadly, he's probably had more endorsements since he passed than when he was living.
Yes.
And which is crazy to think about. But you know, Jordan. I mean, it's almost a thing of who Jordan hasn't whored himself out for, in a sense, between Nike. And Haynes and God knows whatever else. You can't begrudge your brother for making bucks, but again, it just shows you the you know, and I think we all go back and forth whether it's progress or regress. There's certain, you know. The fact that you could basically have the ability to watch your favorite sport pretty much every night, 365, 24/7,
mm-hmm.
that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the other side of it, and my exhibit A, B, and C would be Thursday Night Damn Football, which we all know should be scrubbed, but because of the money. But because of the money factor, it never will be. So it's an interesting paradox because, you know, there's just, you know, to a certain extent, you feel like there's so much going on, but in a sense, it's always been there. But now there's
more
attention brought to it to a certain extent.
Look at the money that's been generated. Vegas wins 51 games. They win 51 games their first year. So they immediately have a fan base. That fan base sticks with them through the playoffs, and they have something to look forward to inside the next season. Now, for all the teams that we've been fans of for as long as we've all been here, forget about how much money we may have invested in jerseys or caps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas
mm-hmm.
generated a revenue stream immediately with this hockey team
mm-hmm.
because on top of everything else, they won games and they won money from winning the games.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that from all the people who became fans, many weren't thinking about, I'm going to make money betting on these motherfuckers. But a lot of them did.
Let me give you the backdrop of some stuff that's happened along with everything and what everybody said that I've heard so far.
Okay.
Let me get academic. Let me get to the academic institutions. You have to take that same model to the academic.
Uh-huh.
This is why. Because as opposed to 25 years ago when I was in the front offices,
mm-hmm.
the business element of sports now is at a whole different level. Now,
right.
it wasn't the chicken before the egg. It was more at the same time because you had people who were in business that studied business to how to be applicable to sports in ways that never did before. With the timing of that, along with technology, you could market and maximize the dollar or find ways to maximize the dollar, which created people who were more creative. And with that, unfortunately, what it did for a lot of folks, it heightened the interest in terms of it heightened the factors of being successful earlier. Some teams, mm-hmm. like we've discussed now, did it strategically. Some teams didn't do it strategically and are always trying and fail. So
right.
all I'm saying is that the technology factor and the business factor and how the sport is more about business. And I was telling a young person recently about they want to get the sports major. I said, if you go to college, you better be a business major with a sports element, not just the opposite.
To add to that, Mike, Stan frickin' Kroenke. Now this was his third title that he's won in the last three different cities.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't even think of one person who's owned two different. Now, yes, we know Charlie O owned, Oakland, basically, the old California Golden Seals, the Case, the Kansas City A's, and the Oakland A's, but never won it wasn't like he won with a football team, he won with a hockey team, and then won with a football team. Even Jack Kent Cook's crazy ass. I think the Redskins were the only one that he won the title with, I think, right?
That's true.
Well, it just shows you how much things have changed over the year, and it's funny. We always go back to that moment in North Dallas 40. When I say it's a business, you say it's a game. When I say it's a game, you say it's
a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Gentlemen, that's where the dividing line has come with all of this. To include the term I use is sports entertainment business. As recently as a few weeks ago, there's still some people out there who still see everything as, quote, just a game. They don't see it as a sports entertainment business, in spite of the fact that as recently as today is Wednesday, so Monday, I had a discussion with this gentleman who was talking about this whole thing with the young man from the Grizzlies. He didn't understand what the big deal was when, okay, it was a toy gun. Yeah, but then, when you were OJ running through the airport promoting Hurts or Joe Namath, they had to clean a whole lot of shit off of Joe Namath to get him respectable so he
Still
could
did.
Become the face of whoever it was he was promoting. And then you go down the line.
Yep.
They don't pay
mm-hmm.
you can you imagine, and just throw out a number, 20 million in side money, and we know it's all more than that, but they're going to pay you 20 million a year in just side money. This ain't got nothing to do with, and this has nothing to do with on-court performance and all this stuff. Because once you sign on the dotted line, this money is your one. We're just going to parcel it out to you for 5 years or 10 years, whatever it takes to be. And see, when you look at Vegas, Vegas ain't got no oil. They hardly got no water. They got no hardly got no grass except her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what else is there to go to Vegas for?
And
you got to think about it. You know, when they say we got, you know, it's a roll of the dice or whatever slang you want to use,
they mean it.
That's true. that's what they got out there. But you know, and see, one aspect that we didn't talk that hasn't really been talked about is, you know, you got to have players, but then you know, you got to have, you know, the coaching plays a major role, and it doesn't matter the sport. I know. Gary's upset because that one team that used to be on the West Coast is now in Vegas. But, you know, they play to, you know, there's an aspect of all that they do that has nothing to do with, quote, unquote, winning and losing per se. It has playing to the will of the fame. They're not going to have, you know, at least I hope, but I don't care because unless the Steelers go that way. But, you know, you know, when you say certain teams' name, okay, they're gonna have these linemen gonna knock the hell out of you and then beat you up. You're gonna have running backs. You know, you're gonna have receivers who are on blocking downfield and opening up for the running game. Now, if push comes to shove and they need to throw it up, go deep, they can do that. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that some of the teams out there now, the fans can't identify with them because you got coaches. This is what we go run, and then we're going to run that next.
Yes.
Okay. I want to criticize that team down there in Fort Worth. Because they ain't Dallas for real, no way. But anyway, their management is slowly but surely. Dallas in Texas is one thing, and Dallas up here in North Carolina or where you all are is a whole different bird. Dallas, mm-hmm. I mean, there are people the only thing that saves the Dallas Cowboys right now is the fact that there are so many people in Texas who are delusional, because a lot of the people who know football are getting away from them because they're so detached from Jerry Jones and his son.
Yep.
And you don't have, you know, you don't have that connection that once existed. It may never come back totally, but at least there should be the impression that we care and all this kind of stuff.
They treat it like a commodity now, because see, mm-hmm. they won about Tex Williams and Murchison and Landry all those years. It was always about football, even in the bad old days. It was always about football. It's not about football anymore with them now. Forgive me for saying this, he gets a boner every time he hears that he's one of the top five franchises in all of professional sports.
That's true.
Tony, the Oakland City, the music themselves, 20 years ago, had the greatest sports in the world, right? With the A's, Raiders, and within another year, you have zero. I mean, zero sports down in Oakland.
$28,350.
Yes, they did last night.
It was the highest about in 4 years.
Let's be honest. It's never been the fans' fault in Oakland. If anything, the fans basically. You know, there's a lot of other major league cities who should take a note from what the Oakland fans have done over the years. They literally took a page out of the movie network. Because I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
And they did, and see,
I think again they showed where their loyalty really was because they don't have a problem with the team. The relationship between the A's fans and the team, the team, i.e. the players or whatever, that's never been the problem. It's always been who's been running the show. And this goes back to when Charlie O was there.
What happened in Oakland may be the first time where fans have a case of buyer's remorse for the franchise,
mm-hmm.
and they shut
Absolutely.
People out. This ain't the country
I still believe this. What did it for the A's is when the Oakland Raiders came back to Oakland, and when they came back to Oakland, they said, look, we're going to build Bob Davis.
Yep.
Now, yeah, one of the most beautiful ballparks on the planet. Why you want to mess that up? That was the ugliest thing they ever did. It was just terrible.
One of the things that you have to understand, guys, and it's obvious, but it has to be said. In business, and in particular in sports business, you have to have a vision. Mm-hmm. And the vision has to be in concert with what you can put together on the field and off. And quite frankly, guys, a lot of guys, even though they study business and been successful in other business to buy a team, it doesn't translate when it comes to sports because you've got the right people to do the right things. I've been in front of it with three teams. You got to get the right people to run it, and with a leadership that has vision. I give the guys from Las Vegas, the hockey team, who not only said in 6 years we can have a championship. I give them credit because they have vision.
No, there's truth to that because it was one thing to do it 1 year. It's another thing to keep on with this. I mean, the Vegas franchise had developed a reputation where if you come here, there's a certain way you have to act. Not even talking about how you have to handle your personal shit. The players played a certain way. They had a system where this is what you do. You know, this is how you counterattack. And the players have to buy into that. And that's what Vegas did. They didn't just drop off the table after the first season, win those 51 games. The second season, they came back, and they were just as hard into it. If anything, they told me Vegas is not a soft touch. If you go to Vegas, you're going to have to play.
Are we ready?
It's not going to be about Sim City. It's going to be Hockey City. You got to play. And that's what they've done. Six seasons, Vegas players are all solid. Everybody on
Michael,
line.
Michael, the guys they picked, the guys they picked this draft.
Yep.
They picked individuals that fit their style. Marc-Andre Fleury was in their style.
Yeah, he was.
You know, this year, who they got this year? They got Quick. They got Mike Quick this year, right?
They picked up Jonathan Quick. They picked up 8 mil from San Jose from Mike Greer, who's the GM out there. You know, they picked other players up, Theodore Stevenson, White Cloud, who was with Edmonton, the native brother.
And they got 3 guys from the LA Kings.
So,
Martinez
was from the Kings.
Yep.
They had a solid background of talent that was veteran talent, that young talent, and they had rookie talent.
Important. And Mike, let me point out something that's obvious that kind of symbolizes what can go right and what can go wrong, and things stay the same. Fred mentioned before about the Cowboys. And I'll say this about the Cowboys are a perfect example of a well-run organization that market itself well, but unfortunately, Jerry Jones gets in the way of when picking the right players. The same can be said for a team that I was around for over 28 years, the New York Jets.
Yep.
Well, they have too many daggone junior executives who know nothing about the sport.
Solely interested in
business because of the fact that they're in New York and the organization has had problems. And thirdly, we use the New York Knicks, the same problems. I mean, if it wasn't for Madison Square Gardens, the New York Knicks might be like Oakland. But I have to say that organizations like, perfect example, what the Denver Nuggets did, that organization put together like 5 years to put that together, piece by piece. They didn't try to rush
That's
it.
True.
They were patient, which unfortunately a lot of owners don't want to do because their boys in the country club and with the owners, he has a ring. He's showing his ring off. I got to get my ring. I got to get the ring as soon as possible. And it doesn't happen that way. Organizations are destroyed because of that. So, again, it has the right people, the right time, the right organization to be patient. And all models are not the same for success.
That's true. We got Radio Reggie in the mix. Reggie, can you hear us?
Yeah, gentlemen, real quick, Patrick. Stefan, my man, Mr. Diggs of the Buffalo Bills, told everybody, you can kiss my black ass. But here's the question, Patrick. How in the hell does the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, Mr. No Name, who's not been on one Pro Bowl, has not won one MVP, has 120 turnovers, and he's on the fucking cover of Madden? Can you help a brother out? Did I miss
Uh-oh.
Something?
Uh-oh. No, you didn't miss nothing. Wait. He sells because he has the image to sell.
No.
Exactly. No, not the Larry Bird.
No,
they just got that boy from Jacksonville then.
No. He's not as good as the guy from yeah. Well, that boy Allen is good, and he plays the way he has a way of playing that identifies with that part of the country. Tough, rough, bold, cold.
Exactly. He was the continuation of Jim Kelly. You know, he's supposed to be
there
a
you
tough
go.
Guy. You know, all that. The Buffalo, the
you
fans,
the
wife beat
Jim Kelly who beats his wife. Is that the Jim Kelly you're talking about?
Yeah, that guy.
They all appreciate that.
Hey, Patrick, is this the same quarterback that had his account scrubbed because of racial undertones?
Oh, not that guy. Yeah, no. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes, he did.
And there was something else adding that. What ticks me off is this. Why are we talking about Stephon Diggs?
Yeah.
It's OTAs. What are we talking about? That's the only story y'all got today, talking about Stephon Diggs not going to practice? Give me a break.
Were they tired of beating on my man? Money with the bottom of the race.
There you go.
We got to grab somebody else because Jackson got his money. Yeah. Who's the next nigga we can go after?
You know you ain't wrong.
Yeah.
You ain't wrong.
Mr. Allen can be on the front of Madden 2020. That's what happened.
You got to remember, their choices are limited. But Patrick Mahomes sells everything. You know, they have a problem with Mahomes because his younger brother is a bit of a jerk, and he's caused some problems.
A bit of a jerk.
But I ain't holding out against him. I'm not holding out against him at all. And anybody that wants to pull that tail, you know, you pull out the wrong thing. Is that Patrick Mahomes?
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. But it's caused itself. It's how can I say this? Internally, it has turned into a time bomb. He's a ticking time bomb because with every success that Patrick has, his brother is doing the vampire bit, sucking the life out of whatever fame he gets off of that, and he'll say, I'm an influencer, instead of saying, I'm a fucking idiot, and I should just pay attention, let my brother do his thing, and mind my damn business. But that's what happens when somebody
do
what?
Yeah. And I could just live off that. Shit, please. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
See, y'all got to hear what Netflix going to do? They're following the life of three quarterbacks. Have y'all heard about that?
Now what?
Vaguely.
Yeah, they're supposed to be last year, Mahomes and the quarterback of the Vikings and the guy that was the Falcons. Those are the three quarterbacks.
Oh.
They started their journey last year.
Okay. I'm talking about, yeah. Well, they got to do something to make themselves interested in sports. Because everybody's fighting for a piece of it. Because it's good business. You know, Amazon got...
It's the sports entertainment business.
Sports business.
And they got to find a way how to make it work for them where they can generate a revenue stream for themselves. You know, they picked Mahomes for sure because of the marketing. But Atlanta's quarterback, who me? The Vikings quarterback, that boy ain't shit. And they know
it. Sonny, didn't you say you were rocking in your throat, son? You got to follow through with it.
They know it, boy. And they know it. But
you got, to work them vowels, son. You got to make it an adjective. It's an action word. Work them vowels.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right.
You got to pull a Donald Trump.
And get prepared for it. The second week of June, and about another 2 weeks, the onslaught of quarterback doing everything, what he eats, when he goes to sleep, when he goes to the bathroom, all that, it's gonna come out. You know, so get ready for the onslaught.
There you go. Watching taking steroids.
You know, so please.
Well, I'm placing the bet.
It's ridiculous, really ridiculous. And since now they ain't got Tom Brady to talk about, oh, Lord, please.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nobody's going to watch. I bet you between Allen, Burroughs.
Rodgers. Mahomes and Rodgers.
Rodgers and the guy in Jacksonville. With the nobody guys.
But you know what? Reggie makes a good point, because Stephon Diggs is one of the best receivers in the NFL. And whatever they want to say about the quarterback, you can't have the throw without the catch. And if Diggs says something's fucked up, you better hear what he's got to say, because he's going to be in that huddle. Buffalo will never admit it, but this redneck that they drafted may turn out to be more harmful than helpful if Buffalo's going to ever get a title.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to thank Shannon Sharpe and Skip Billings for their absence this week. And Shannon said, after the NBA tournament, here's my black ass. And
yes,
Ken LeBron
was
urging him on that.
He was on TV the last show, and he got teared up for leaving. And I understand, you know, you thank Skip for giving exposure, and but it was time to go. That's all.
No, when you got a white supremacist like Skip Bayless on there that shows his true colors, what do you expect?
And is that the case? Shannon took the check with you.
Yes, sir. Because that's how Shay Shay is growing up, like a fat boy at a buffet.
Shay Shay doing good.
He got all the big guests.
Yeah, that's a good thing about doing things at that level. They pay you millions and millions of dollars to kiss their ass and go your separate ways. It's not like that. Separation like that is far better than say, what's the term? Divorce. Divorce. You're lucky to get your ass.
Well, and Fred, you know what Johnny Diva said, cheaper than keeper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit.
He didn't lie.
He sure didn't.
There's a lot of comfort in walking away. When I saw him walk away, Renee, let Renee walk.
Yeah.
And keep the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And now that we're on that subject, no, I do not want Shannon and Mr. Ram on the same show at the same time. I'm sorry. No.
Well, Shannon, what show would that be?
Remember, they need something to have to counterbalance what the league is offering. Shannon Sharpe offered credibility because of who he is. But again, just like with players, a player has to be super nigga for you to take him seriously.
Yep.
Shannon Sharpe turned out to be super in terms of providing information and holding his own. Now he's got to be on his own, and he doesn't have to worry about carrying that non-ass Skip Bayless anymore, because he thought he was too big for his own britches. So, no, honestly.
Is it just me, or do most of these shows that they have on that are similar to that? You got brothers who are players and those kinds of things. But where do they keep finding all these nondescript white boys?
Thank you.
The only talent they have is how to interrupt Negroes who say something that makes sense with some that don't. It just seems to me that they just find these crazy white boys on the rock somewhere, or if they played at all, the ones that were truly good. You ain't never think. Can you imagine Larry Bird sitting behind a microphone?
Oh, hell no.
That's way behind one.
Just go down a list of people. And you just seemingly, you know, again, it may just be me. But I really watch that kind of stuff. Because, see, I'll pay $100 to get me a new TV.
Now you're right,
Fred.
The only white boy I've heard spit truth at all these talking heads is the guy who was kicking once with the Colts, Pat McAfee. He talks like he's got some sense, and yeah, he's a bit caustic, but he's right. He's played. He's been at that level. Some of these assholes from Good Morning Football, it's like Good Morning Football. It's more like Good Morning Heartache because they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Mike, I'm gonna give it the quintessential one that Fred's alluding to. The quintessential. Watch Fox with the Carton Show. The guy that was on ESPN. This guy was in gambling, and they didn't put the part about his nose being blocked up, the cocaine, and he gets arrested, goes to jail, and comes back and gets a show on Fox.
Yep, unbelievable. Must be nice.
Now this car gets over like a shot that.
Thank you, Jim. Hey, Patrick, real quick. Deion Sanders back in the news. It's amazing now how they're talking about how USC got so good, but the defense won't shit. And now they're talking about prime time, running all these guys off. I'm like, wow. And I said, if Deion can do half as decent as USC, hey, he might get to go to the next level. I'm like, are you kidding me? And don't give me something like Alabama Rizzi, where they use their players up.
Well, Rizzi, here's the problem with Team USC and Colorado. I told you at the beginning of last year that it was coming. All those alumni in USC who are Hollywood producers and executives who alumni says, we're going to change the team. Well, the rest is history. He even got a Heisman Trophy winner. He might win it again this year when he comes back. Deion can do something with Pacers, but he ain't going to do it as quickly as USC is. No way in hell, because he ain't got the same kind of money.
Yep.
Because see, you know, the last time I looked, Colorado is still in the mountains. It's cold all the way down.
Yeah,
and it's so cold there that the buffalo leave and go to the low country during the winter. And what is there to go to Colorado for? I mean, if you're a Mormon, you go to Brigham Young or whatever.
I've been there. Yeah, it's nice. Boulder ain't nothing to speak about. You're right, Fred. Boulder ain't that much to speak about. You know, that's for sure. You know, Denver's not bad. I got recruited at Fort Collins, Colorado State, but University of Colorado.
That's cold weather.
Bruh, please.
One of my teammates used to live in Colorado. And, you know, we let him know real quick, hey, next time you invite us up, it better be between May and in August.
Thank you.
August is out because that's when the Rams start playing. So, you know, you got to get us up here in the summertime. And even then, early in the morning, frost on the leaves. And I ain't new, can come back up here. And when my niece is up here, and you get sick.
Mm.
It can snow,
you get sunburned, it seems, within 2 hours.
Fuck yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, but the issue is what Deion's going to be able to put together. I think it's a rough year this year. No, he's a real rough one.
Yeah.
Because he got his
little roster. He got the defense on the offensive defensive line.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to get hurt on the offensive defensive line.
And the Big 12 ain't no joke. So we'll see what happens. But even try to compare him to USC, that's two different worlds.
Well, only thing I can say about Deion, I don't know if he ever pledged anything or not, but I think he will learn about bending over and holding on your knees while you take one. I don't see he can't do the same thing the same way he did at Jackson State. There's nobody in the whole. Remember, at Jackson he had the team. He inherited a team that was middle and above as far as winning and losing. He got the team now in Colorado. He got a team that was, what do they call it, the doormat?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Think about it. That's how they
couldn't
always
worse,
start.
Fred. Couldn't get no worse.
Patrick, think about it. When was the last time you saw a black head coach in college be given a pat hand or they developed a strong team? It's always somebody who has
Ty Willingham, Notre Dame. Ty Willingham.
Yeah.
What about Ty Willingham?
Ty Willingham and Notre Dame. I was out. Yeah, I covered them. He had a nice team, but because he didn't win the championship, they got rid of his butt. And the team was good.
He wouldn't talk to the big donors the way they want to be talked to.
Reggie, you're from Richmond. Do you remember the team that White Shadow inherited? He should have been, if he'd have done anything less than winning the CIAA that year, he should have been fired.
I give you a bad name.
I knew the guy who hired him. Actually, it was J.D. Marshall, but we'll discuss later.
Yeah. You're right.
But
I thought Fred, AD there.
He took over a situation, but he took over a team that had eight or nine players, all of whom should have been starters, but you can only start five.
He had a better team than that, but they were so mad that the White Shot took the job, the players boycotted. They didn't want to play for him. That team he had first year should have won that championship.
Hold on, guys. True. Before you go any further, Fred and Reggie, please tell everybody first who the White Shadow is and where he coaches, just for purposes of edification.
The professor did the ESPN special, so I had to yield to the professor.
All right.
White Shadow's name is Dave Robbins. He was a white guy. He was the first white guy to be head coach at an HBCU. He took over Virginia Union.
Yep.
1979-80, and went on to win three national championships, and I think it was 13 or 15 CIAA championships.
Uh-huh.
He was a country boy who went to the big PWI named Catawba College, which is in Salisbury, North Carolina.
Yeah.
He was two of his players you'd immediately recognize would be Charles Oakley, and Ben Wallace. But his best player was a guy named Alec English.
Watson Wizards. Yeah, and Terry Davis.
Terry Davis was good. All these other guys were good.
Interesting.
At the time, three or four games with him.
We call AJ Baby Jordan.
Go to South Carolina.
That's how bad he was. We call him Baby Jordan.
Didn't Alex Eagles go to South Carolina?
He did.
No. AJ English.
AJ. Alex Eagles went to South Carolina.
Hey, Patrick, look, they had a hell of a connection out of Alabama and Detroit through the alumni.
Alabama, Detroit, and Ohio.
Yep. In D.C.
And mostly ones,
the big Walls brothers.
And the funny thing is, most of the ones that was in Ohio came from Alabama.
Yep. That's where Ben Wallace came from.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oakley was from Ohio, but Oakley was one of the few that played 4 years. Because he knew the junior college circuit like you wouldn't believe. And what yes, he sir. Needed, he went and got. But he had a level of support from the administration that was unbelievable. And he raised his own money.
Mm-hmm. That's how them banners are up in Boca. Check this out.
We had
Cannonball Cooper, who was the running back of Union. He got so mad because they hired the White Shadow that he boycotted. He would never go to any basketball or football game again. Whoa. There was a couple of people like that with alumni that gave money to, as long as that white boy's there, we ain't coming to see no games. And he didn't go to the day he died. He never went back. Cannonball Cooper.
See, to his credit, the mandate from the president at the time was find the best possible coach.
Yeah.
And some of the ones that they wanted to hire, I wouldn't have hired them either.
And
Fred, the bottom line is, Fred, the guy won. What they complain about? He won.
Because he's white. Big House Games had to go in front of all them coaches and say, why y'all ain't vote for the White Shadow for the Coach of the Year? They were so pissed off. Big House Games went to him and said, what's the problem?
Yep. And Reggie, for the truth be known, Big House basically was speaking for Coach Mack when he said that.
Yep.
Because Coach Mack, Big House paid the favor.
Charles Oakley last year when they was in the tournament, Big House paid the favor, came into Richmond and beat their ass at the ass center. That was a hell of a game that year. That was one of Big House's finest games. He coached his ass off that game.
Well, he had a Cadillac. He had a Cadillac on the floor.
Yes, sir.
Seville held Oakland. That was probably Oakland's worst game of his career.
Yes, sir.
And I think the final score was 44-40, 41.
Mm-hmm. Man, they came out the I-95 and kicked Union's ass on their home court. Union just knew they was gonna go by and sell them. Not with the house. Only 2,000 people was at the game. I couldn't believe it.
To this day, their home court still won't hold a good high school game.
Nope. And they done put $100,000 brand new floor in it, and they still would let them host any tournament games in there. They said your facilities are under par.
When's the first press conference for the league coming up for football?
Oh, that'll be in August. That'll be in the CIAA football press conference. That'll be in August.
That's about 5-6 weeks away.
Yeah.
It's going to be right at the end of July.
The MEAC be right behind it, too, the MEAC.
No.
I got to tell the commissioner, I said, this is getting old hat. You went in that championship 2 years in a row. You don't know how to act.
CIAA will be like a Wednesday, Thursday, and that Friday will be the MEAC.
Yeah, because I got about a month before, actually less than a month, before I start my stuff again, and I'm looking to see what's going on. I'm also interested to see how they're going to schedule games this year. Because he had some really success last year, televised games, particularly here in the Jersey, New York area. It was good to see.
I meant to ask you, they had Whitney Young bowl again this year?
You know, I talked about the editor with the editor of the Amsterdam News last week about that. He said he's pissed. He don't want to hear nothing from him. He said, don't come to us the last minute talking about 2 weeks before the game, are we coming to New York? I don't want to hear it. Because, you know, when Gremlins come up with Eddie Robinson and his crew, they start promoting the game. We can
more than
we start
that,
seeing the ads.
Oh, they would have been promoting the game. Yeah. Hey, you know, Union is playing in the Hall of Fame game against Morehouse in Canton, Ohio.
And they're already promoting it here in New York.
Oh
they
yeah, they got buses
yet.
From Richmond going already. They already
and
they,
I
ain't they them on that last year.
That's right.
Where it ought to be.
Yeah,
you know, but here the game they had last year, I heard nothing about it yet.
Are they going to have it?
And hey, my man Jamie Harris said he don't want to deal with them until. Because I don't blame him, Jamie, because show respect and show some planning. I mean, you promoting Navy, playing somebody here in March. Hey, this June, you promoting this game? Come on. So, but that's, I'm not surprised.
That's disrespectful.
The guy that ran it before, Mike Graham, for years, because Mike Graham also ran the first college game for network TV that showed up on Channel 7 on ABC every year. Mike was also involved with that. Mike also made sure that the black college games, that HBCU games were always promoted no later than in the June. No later. Mm. He always had it out. But when he left,
the biggest thing is going to be, once again, they're going to be poor streaming service in the CIAA, and I don't know what the MEAC can do. I think they might go to YouTube, but they got to do a better job of carrying these games. I don't know what's going on. And I'm ready to see what the SWAC going to do this year. Cause they did
I'm going to tell you, Reg.
With prime time gone, it's interesting to see how things go.
Watch out for streaming services taking over these games.
Yeah. Well, Tyler Perry just bought BET streaming. Maybe he can hook up some football games.
Yeah. Watch out for the streaming service taking over these games. Because there's a lot of shit. I will tell you this. The ground is rumbling now for change in some conferences. It's rumbling.
They need to.
More than ever. And with that, that's because some TV contracts have been altered. Even the Big Ten TV contract has been altered to a degree to where the money is spread out differently. Same amount.
Okay, Patrick, how much has betting got to do with the way these TV contracts are altered? Because they're making more money with these betting searches.
That's the other part of it.
Can you say cash cow, Mike?
That's the other part of it. So what I'm saying, streaming services are looking for programming. So we're not going to come with an old argument. If these college presidents at HBCU got the right people to talk with, they can get a nice piece of change, not change some cash from these streaming services that can connect with each school. We'll see what happens. I don't want to go too deep into it.
Like my man said in the movie, it sounds like they're a couple of bookies. They're trying to figure out how to connect the two. Professor, you said gambling came down to North Kakalaki a while back.
Yes, it is. It's coming to North Kakalaki next year.
What's been the effect of it so far?
Let's see the book.
gentlemen, as of right now, the first week of the new year was going to officially kick off. There's still some skeletons in the closet that got to be got out, and some old ways of thinking. But for the most part, it is here. It's just a matter of working out the details of how the money is going to be divided. Because here in North Carolina, we have several Native American tribes who already have their facilities, gambling facilities.
Yep.
We don't have to go to Virginia or go offshore and all that kind of stuff now. We got to go to Asheville, left turn, go out to New Orleans, and there is a place that you can play whatever you want to play.
Is that Pemberton County, Fred?
Excuse me?
Is that Pemberton County?
The only thing, let's see, it's going to be professional and college level. You won't be permitted to do high school, et cetera. But, you know, that's kind of how it's going to go. But at the same time, though, the governor has signed the legislation. There's some minor details got to be worked out. And once they're worked out, it's not a case of if there's going to be gambling. It's how it's going to be operated.
And you guys start the second half of 24. Vermont starts the beginning of the year.
Some aspects of it is already in place because it's going to hurt a few people because they've been running bookies, joints in barber shops and shoe shine shops and that kind of stuff. Because I'm aware of some of the facilities they have here locally. In most areas, have a place that would be considered anywhere near a Black Wall Street. They'll probably lose money now. But then they can't always go legit.
Yeah.
The owner of the shop where you budget ticket from gets a kick. Like say if you bet a 14 teaser, and you hit, you come in, you cash a ticket, and you get say $400, something like that. Will they be able to take that percentage off of the shop owner so that he gets his off the bat? Nothing has to be calculated until the end of the quarter or the season or whenever fiscally they count the money.
I can tell you now, Mike.
That's one of the things that got to be worked out. I'm going to say, that's one of the things in some cases going to have to be worked out because right now, the nicest way I can say this, don't think that the police / sheriff don't know who does what because they're trying to bring back these parlor machines.
Yes.
They know who has them and still operate them. And as long as the right palm degrees, nobody gets busted. But if you hold back, remember that song, Hold Back the Light? If you hold back the light, i.e. the money, then you get raided and your name get put in the paper, all that kind of stuff.
Fred, here's going to be the problem with that. Algorithms from the phone is going to knock all that out.
I don't doubt it.
Algorithms in the phone. This is 2023. It ain't 1933. It's going to knock it all out.
Right. If you think back to the movie Harlem Nights, how they moved the money and all that kind of stuff. Don't think that has totally gone away. It'll be hurt now because you don't have to go. You don't know how to go get a haircut to get to place your bets.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a big event. Once FanDuel and these other companies coming in, please, you got more variables. But the bottom line is coming. It should have came anyway, a long time ago anyway. But that's
something to think about. Patrick, before we get the final thought, give us the NIL update, if you will.
Guys, it should be predictable. I talked about last year. I got information on how a lot of politicians were pissed off, not pissed off, but were concerned about the NIL deals. Well, the lobbyists were hired by the NCAA, which I knew was coming because they're their golfing buddies. They're the cousins of the people who sponsors. They're the cousins of, mm-hmm. of the presidents. All they're going to say, how are you going to pay all these players money when some of the players are making more than professors, making more than some of the politicians within the state legislature, making some more than equal to the president of the school? You know they had to cut that out. Well, gentlemen, a bill was introduced by it's a draft by the NIL restrictions for boosters and collectors. But it was sponsored by two distinguished gentlemen. One, a man from West Virginia who definitely decimated all progress for the big progressive legislation that the current Democrats have for roads and things of that nature, a guy named money-making Joe Manchin, who was a multimillionaire from West Virginia. West Virginia, who killed the bill for extended help for COVID and for student loans, when his son got a $26 million deal. Don't get me started on him. All right. The best one of all, is my man. A man that made his means in the back to ball players from Alabama, Mississippi, and South Carolina, any place else. Your man and mine, the stemmer from Alabama, Tommy Tuberville. Of all people, is the other sponsor of this bill. Say it again for me, Mike. Say it again for me.
That motherfucker.
Of all, he wouldn't have a dime if he wouldn't coach the brothers from Auburn. But now he gonna stop him from making some money? Oh, please! So the draft is in now for the NIL for the because I knew the NCAA will have to do something because they're making these boys have too much money being sent out to them. So we'll see what happens.
Oh my goodness! This is definitely
Tommy Tuberville.
Tommy Tuberville is shining example of playing without a helmet.
Yep.
There you go. Give me a break.
I got friends. From time to time, I have to ask them. Is that the guy that used to coach your team?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he some of you ranks right up there with the trainer from Georgia. Two. Matter of fact, our head usher and his assistant are two of the most rampant Georgia fans I ever met. And guess what? All they can do is walk around and shake their heads.
That's the kind of guy.
And Fred, Mike, I'm going to add one more thing to it. These are two poor states in the country.
That's right.
Two poor states. They are so pissed off. The other states, Nebraska or California or even Colorado, are getting money that they can't raise or find it hard to raise. Well, we got to strip everybody because they're making too much money. We ain't making as much as them.
Yep. That's because they poor. They spent the O and the A to R. So they're not even poor. They poor. We're going to see what happens with this, but it don't look good. But we're at final thoughts now. So I'll tell you what, Reggie. Set it off, please.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the loser of the last election has ginned up these people where they asked the police commission down there in Florida, if you have some crazies come here and want to start something, what are you going to do? His response was, I haven't planned anything right now. Like they did in the 60s. Break out the National Guard and them German Shepherds. Just take a bite out of crime. You know, it's just amazing to me again how Europeans can sit up here and see both facts and swear up and down this man is John Gotti, an oligarch, and according to them, neo-Nazi Hitler. But when you see the top five shows, the conservative talk shows, on the top of the list, all that dark money. And Mike, you talked about it. It was the law passed when corporations could stop being people, individuals. And that was under Obama. And we have gone hell ever since with that dark money coming in. We ain't seen nothing yet, in my opinion.
Well, there's more to come, and we got to think about what else may come down the pike because of it. That's a good one, Reggie. Patrick, come on in.
I want to congratulate the Denver Broncos winning the championship. They did things in a different way, in a way that put that team together and was patient. And I like the fact that it was as much as the team's chemistry and closeness of the team that propelled them to win. That wasn't if folks don't think that's important, you have no idea what you're talking about. But within that, I had to let loose some language I can't use now because Malay's not too far from me. You hear me, cousin? when somebody said Djokovic is now probably the best center of all time, I said stop.
Oh my God!
Stop. Let's give this young man credit for what he can do and how he developed as a player, which I do without question. He's won two MVPs, all right? But let's stop the greatest center. Stop.
No shit.
You know,
delusional.
And again, it's the people who are prisoner of the moment with history and sports. Didn't Kareem win six championships? Didn't he win three MVPs in college?
Hello.
Stop. Quite frankly, if Joe got played against Embiid, I don't know what would happen. And I'm not taking anything away from him.
Man, you steal my thunder, man. You steal my thunder.
Thank you. And I'm not taking anything from Joker because he's probably the most versatile center that we've seen in a long time with his arsenal, the way he's doing things, and at the pace that he's played, undoubtedly, he deserves everything he gets. But the greatest of all time, stop smoking that crack.
Drop the pipe. Leave the pipe alone. This is your brain on drugs. It's not even a fried egg. It's a rotten egg. Professor, come on in.
Well, first of all, my website and all that kind of stuff is going to be down for a couple of weeks. Everything I'm going to do through via Facebook, because one, I don't understand IG, and the second thing, I don't understand Twitter, and I ain't even learning a whole lot of new stuff. Having said that, it's amazing how fast this year has gone, because now we see kids that we've known and watched grow up are actually getting ready to go off to school and so forth and so on. But, you know, we still got to be vigilant about what goes on in our neighborhoods and around our neighborhoods, because there is a boogeyman out there, and the boogeyman is real. Not to mention dangerous.
Yep.
You know, I just noticed the other day that there's a United Methodist Church that's about a mile from my house, and I noticed they're not United Methodist anymore. They're just Methodist. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And if the church can't get it right, nobody can. And right now, they're not right. But at the same time, we still got to be looking out for ourselves and not waiting on other people to look out for us, for them on their schedule, because the longer we wait, the worse it's going to get.
True. BlackHeadReview.com, and that's the collective watch your back for everybody here in Soul Tree Nation and among Cold Caravan. Go safe, stay safe, and be safe. Gary, come on, babe.
America, you are losing your mind. You are really losing your mind. This week in California, a 9-year-old girl won a 100-yard dash. The father of the other girl started screaming at her, "You're dead, you're dead, you're dead." What Donald Trump has done, his minions, has attacked the trans community. This cannot go on. You can't attack people who don't know who they are. And this is coming to an end. You attack black people. You attack women. Now you're attacking gay and lesbian. What is wrong with y'all? It's time to stop. Where we go? 1 o'clock? 30, and on Sunday is Father's Day Festival. We have Diana Ross.
All right.
And
there you go. Thank you.
My father loves Diana Ross. So I'm going to get Diana Ross her day. There we go.
There you go. But you know what?
Happy Daddy Day to all of y'all.
Yep. Happy Daddy's Day to all the pops, big poppers, all those cool from the days of Under Rules, et cetera, et cetera. And if you handle your business, if you love kids, and if you love them for the sake of loving them, all the dad, here's your time to get your pat on the back and the big piece of chicken. But what Gary
and
said,
things, well,
Gary
my,
said early on about that young kid winning the race and then having somebody screaming them about being trans. This is a byproduct of what's going on in society now. You know, they think that they can get over by a sneer and fear. Yell loud enough.
Oh, Mike, what the kid should have said, your mama's a... Mike, what the kid should have said, your mama's a man. That might have shut him up.
Yep, how about that shit? Unfortunately, we're loaded with a bunch of people that make you understand that we didn't realize until COVID, until Trump, just how many stupid motherfuckers are there in this country.
Yep.
This is not
he made
a
them feel comfortable.
This is not a
he
question
made them feel comfortable.
Of different opinions. This is a question of just fucking stupid. And like my band say, you can't fix stupid. All you can do
yeah, you can.
Is remind everybody that, look here, you can get your ass feeling any kind of way if you want to, but it's darker. We're darker. We're catching up. We're going to pass you. And that's not science fact or science fiction. That's just fucking reality. Q as the gays. Everybody go safe. All the dads, stepdads, everybody else. Y'all chill. We see you soon.
Tablespoons of cinnamon and 2 or 3 egg whites, a half a stick of butter melted. Stick it all in a bowl, baby. Stir it with a wooden spoon. Mix in a cup of flour. You'll be in heaven soon. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Ooh, suck on my chocolate salted balls. Stick them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of vitamins and good for you. So suck on my balls.
That was wonderful. Good show.
Want a cup of unsweetened chocolate and a half a cup of brandy. Then throw in a bag or two of sugar and just a pinch of vanilla. Read up the cookie sheet, 'cause I hate when my balls kick. Then preheat your oven to 350. And give the spoon a lick. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. Put them in your mouth and suck them.
Ooh, yeah.
Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of goodness. High in fiber. Hey, wait a minute. What's that smell?
Howdy-ho!
Smell like something burning. Well, that don't confront me none. As long as I get my rent paid on Friday.
I love your salty chocolate ball, Chef.
Baby, you better get back in the kitchen. 'Cause I got a sneaking suspicion.
How was it, honey?
Oh, man, baby.
Pretty much what I expected.
Baby, you just burned my ball! My balls on fire. How much better? My balls are burning. Give me some water. Put some water on me. My balls are burning. Oh, my goodness. I'm blowing. I'm doing something. Ooh, suck on my chocolate salted balls. Put them in your mouth and suck them. They're on fire, baby.
Wow.
Suck on my chocolate salted balls. Put them out, baby.
How about a little more of that good lovin', Chef?
Damn, woman. I just gave you sweet lovin' 5 minutes ago. Are you trying to kill me?
You trying to kill me? That's what them chocolate salty balls
what,
to do.
What a way to go.
Good night, everybody.
Ah.